And after a sabbatical, I think maybe over in Europe or somewhere, it is a warm welcome back to our resident sports guru, Ray Razor T. Telea Razor. Hey, morning, morning, morning.
Morning, brother.
Yeah, malo. Well, morning, morning, guys. Hey, yes, I've been on a somewhat of a hiatus, but not in Europe, all the way over in the United States of Glen Innes for me. Thank you very much, guys.
Great to have you back. There's been so... It's funny, you know, during lockdown, we've had so much activity on the sporting front, and this morning, why don't we kick off with Mitre 10? I must say, you know, I've been watching some of the highlights, and, you know, when you get all these ABs going back and representing their home provinces, oh, my life, the quality is amazing.
Yeah, well, the first two rounds of the Mitre 10 Cup has been everything that fans and organisers have wanted, given the involvement of the All Blacks. And, you know, just two rounds into it, and there's so much to talk about over the opening rounds. You know, seeing Kieran Reid turning out in the Mitre 10 Cup and for Counties Manukau at that, you know, that's been awesome. You know, and as we mentioned, All Blacks turning out for their provinces and happy to do so. You know, previously there hasn't been much thought given to playing in the Mitre 10 for the All Blacks because you're normally getting ready for the November tours. But, you know, we've seen the All Blacks jump at the chance to represent their provinces. And so when's the last time you saw seven All Blacks turn out in an Auckland side or in a Canterbury side? But, guys, perhaps the most... eye-catching happening of the first two rounds has got to be that the Ranfurly Shield game on the weekend. Wow.
Go the Naki.
You know, go the Naki. The underdog lifting the Ranfurly Shield off one of the provincial powerhouses on a, you know, Sunday afternoon rugby. You know, what an effort by Taranaki. You know, another Shield clash that will go down in New Zealand rugby history. And Geordie Barrett, wow. He's,
man,
he's
that guy's
making
a monster.
Amazing. It's a signature to kick late match winning penalties. What a great start to the Mitre 10
Cup. It's been years since we last saw a New Zealander that has the power boot that we saw, Jody, because we usually see that from the Saffas, right? You know, those guys used to kick that far and then boom. So pick him. He's already in.
What could this guy do at altitude? You know, a 60, 70-metre penalty kick probably wouldn't be beyond the stretches of his boot. So, plenty, lots to like about the Mitre 10 Cup. And, you know, now, although there'll probably be not as many current All Blacks from here on in, there's still going to be huge interest in these games with fans. You know, I don't think any fan is going to be taking any live rugby for granted now, given the events of this year. Following the announcement yesterday that New Zealand will be moving to level one, except Auckland, of course, on Wednesday night. Expect to see the crowds flock to the provincial parks and the stadiums this week. Already the first Bledisloe Cup test is being talked of as a sellout down in Wellington. And, of course, if Auckland are in level one by the time of the second Bledisloe Cup test, we could see another 50,000 crowd at Eden Park as well. So, it's exciting to have the Mitre 10 Cup back.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the Super Rugby format 2021, what's the latest on that, Razor?
Yeah, well, guys, as you know, the New Zealand Super Rugby franchises, they are weighing earnestly for news from the New Zealand Rugby Union in terms of what the structure of next season's competition is going to be. Still no resolution there, whether it's going to involve the Australian sides as well. Is the Pacifica side going to be involved? So understandably, the clubs really want to keep their commercial partners and their sponsors up to date in terms of what's happening next year. They want to give them clarity. There's members and fans that they want to engage now, but they can't because they don't know when they're playing, where they're playing. And so all that sort of planning there, it can't be done until some sort of schedule is sorted. So New Zealand Rugby Union have indicated that a decision will be coming sometime soon, by the end of the month. So that's going to be a huge announcement coming soon from the New Zealand Rugby headquarters.
onto rugby league now, and we looking back at the Warriors season that was, you know, I'm not a follower of the Warriors, but I tip my hat, you know, through all the ups and downs, you know, people coming back to New Zealand to be with their families and having to be based in Australia. I think, you know, look back in the Warriors season, you know, successful, taking into account all that they've had to endure.
Yeah, what a season they've had, guys. Although there's still a game remaining, I think it's a good time to now reflect on the season that's been. And, you know, the Warriors, they definitely had an uphill battle this year. But, you know, you got to give them credit. You got to give them respect for what they've managed to achieve, especially with the turmoil of losing their coach, Steve Kearney, midway through the season or earlier in the season. And, you know, when that happened and assistant coach Todd Payton stepped in, he could be forgiven for seeing the Warriors drop their bundle and not win a game again. But they've played with such grit and determination that Coach Payton promised his side, the sides that he coaches will play with. And, yeah, you know, they certainly played like that again on Sunday against Canberra, one of the other contenders. You know, they had every right not to perform well, but they did again. Although not coming out winners, they did themselves proud out on the field. And you know what, guys? One of the positives that's going to come from this season for the Warriors, I'm picking, is that the situation with their playing away games now. It's long been known that the Warriors have issues with away games, away records. But I'm going to quote a famous someone proverb here: "If for leala mea leala mea." Now we know that this is a well-known proverb, meaning the remedy for the sting of the starfish is the starfish itself. Now, going back to tying that back to the Warriors, there's an issue they've had with away games. Now, what better way for the Warriors to get over their away game bogey or hoodoo, whatever you want to call it, by every game being away game, which is what they've found themselves in this year. Now, come next season, away games surely will just be another game to the Warriors, having played a full season of away games. So I'm picking that's going to be the final barrier, the final hurdle the Warriors get over to being the consistent finals team that everybody is waiting for. And dare I say it, a premiership winning team. There you go, guys.
I hate to tell you, Razor, but those guys got stung by a seahorse.
The mayor can try and try and try.
But ups on the alango. Ups on the alango. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Sorry, a unicorn to be exact. Seahorse unicorn.
Now, one of the standout players and consistently standout, Captain Courageous, RTS, man, this guy just, you know, even in the losing teams, is always playing at such a high level, isn't he?
Oh, well, yeah, we can't let this review of the Warriors go by without giving special mention to their captain, fantastic Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Sadly, he got injured on the weekend and won't be able to play the last game. So, you know, we tip our hat off to the guy. Not much has been said about his situation in terms of his young family. You know, he's, as the captain, he's the true definition of a captain's knock. He's just gotten on with the job. He's realised the importance of his position as the leader of the team, and he's just led the team around so wonderfully and hasn't affected his play at all. He's the leading running metres player in the competition. He's going to be right up there in terms of the Daly M Player of the Year voting. So, you know, well done, Roger. What a great captain he's been this year for the team.
Now for the NRL, the remainder of the NRL, and heading into, you know, finals. If the Panthers take this, you know, the form into the finals that they have over the last 13, what, games without a loss, then is it a sure bet that they're going to win the premiership this year?
Well, you know, it's going to be hard to bet against them. The Penrith Panthers, they've got a bevy of talented young players, young Polynesian players, boys on their side. You know, they've wrapped up the minor premiership, which is the top team at the end of the round, one round remaining, and they've done that. What a final series it's going to be, you know. And although the Panthers have been the form team all year, guys, you can't rule out perennial challengers, the Melbourne Storm. And hey, how about the reigning champion, Roosters? They've quietly been going about their business. Happy for the Panthers to take all the headlines. You know, Sonny Bill Williams is back and he's working his way back into being match fit. He had another outstanding game on the weekend. And yeah, I'm really excited about this year's final series because, in my opinion, there's no clear favourite to take the title. It's going to be a cracker.
Mm. And finally this morning, Razor, Israel Adesanya, UFC middleweight title defence.
Yeah, guys, you know, we us Polynesian, because we love our combat sports, we love our boxing, and we love our UFC, and it's on this weekend. Sunday afternoon, our time, Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa, a.k.a. the Eraser. Now, you know, the UFC, they love the hyperbole when it comes to promoting the events. They like to overhype things in the name of getting more people to watch, buy their pay-per-view events. But this weekend's event, UFC 253, is the real deal. Now, this is probably the most highly anticipated fight in a number of years, and it's going to be up there in terms of the highest-selling Sky box office or pay-per-view event for the promotion this year. And what makes it so interesting? Well, you know, there's a great narrative behind this fight. There's bad blood between these two guys. It's been brewing for a long time. Right from when they both started in the UFC, everyone was thinking, oh, these guys are going to meet for the title sometime in the future. Now, Israel Adesanya, he's a big fan of martial arts movies and Japanese anime. And he actually considers himself or thinks of himself as a real-life cartoon character or movie character. And, guys, this really is styles make fights. And this is the Bruce Lee versus Bolo fight we never got to see in Enter the Dragon. So make sure your Sky Bill is up to date, guys. And that is not overdue like mine, because you don't want to miss this fight. Yeah, exciting.
And exciting indeed to catch up with you, Ray Razor Titalia, our resident sports guru on Pacific Breakfast. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Razor.
Cheers, brother.
Yes, as always. And look forward to your company again same time next week. God bless and stay safe.
Thank you, guys. Catch up.